So hanging out here in the studio is E. White, nighttime DJ here at KDWB. And so we said, well, you can just hang out while we do the podcast. And if something you want to, you know, jump in on something, let us know. And if I leave because I need to go to the bathroom or something, you just kind of take over. So we good?
What is that?
Yeah, we're good. Right. Okay, yeah. Good.
Do you feel like you're going to have an explosive situation to leave
pee.
For?
He just had a pee.
Just a pee?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, we're about to do the Meat Mountain Challenge. By the time you hear this, you know, one of us will probably be in the emergency room.
we'll see how
that goes. Email. Do you want to start with the one you had, Fallon?
Yeah, a few days ago, Fallon reflected on her relationship with Jake and how much she loves him, and it was the sweetest thing ever. I really enjoyed hearing that. Dave, I know you always give Susan a hard time, and you and Susan are very sassy with each other on the radio, but I would love to hear you get a little gushy about how much you love Susan and all the great things about her and your relationship.
Who said that? Susan? Is that from Susan?
She didn't say we couldn't say her name, so it's from Molly.
Let me think about that for a few seconds, and I'll get back to you. Known her for a long time.
That's not gushy. That's just stating a fact.
She was super hot when I met her, and she's still attractive for, you know, an old lady.
Move on. You're
okay. Well, I'm trying to, you know, geez. Well, I mean, she's still hot for, you know, let me tell you.
No. Nope.
Back during the days of steam power, let me tell you, she was hot.
You need help. You need help.
Here's an email. Hope you're doing well. I've been listening since the Corey Foley days and feel like you are some distant friends. Thank you for the fun on your show and your podcast. I enjoy listening to you all and related to you all in some way. I need some advice. Okay. I don't know what to do, and I feel like maybe I'm a little crazy being stuck inside with four little kids and working from home. I think my house is haunted.
Okay.
And as generally a non-believer in the supernatural, I'm not sure what to do or if I do anything. Let me give you some examples of what's been going on. We have toys in our house that make noise. The noises will randomly go off at inappropriate times. I'm sitting down to eat fast food and a cow will moo. Or my husband will be giving the kids a pony ride and a horse will neigh. It's like a soundtrack to what we're doing every day. Two. If we've accidentally left a door unlocked and my husband and I have settled in for the night, a light in the area of the unlocked door will turn on. This happened the other night, and you have to turn a dial to turn the light on. It was off, turned all the way on by itself, and our deck was unlocked, which is right next to the dial. Three, things will go missing. We find them in odd spots in our house that the kids can't reach. Okay, that's a big one for me right there. For example, if your, if your flashlight goes missing and you find it on top of the refrigerator and you know you didn't put it there, the kids didn't put it there. Then our usual stuff, the sound of feet running, doors opening and closing, seeing someone peek into the room, but when you go to look, there isn't anybody there. Are you kidding?
Hate it.
Our house was built in 1960 and has a door in the basement.
Set it on fire and leave.
That leads to an old well that was filled in. So basically, when you open the door, it's like walking into the inside of a well.
Ah.
Whoa. You ever see that movie, The Ring? You know there's dead people thrown down in there. Something happens nearly every day that I can't quite explain. All the activity seems either helpful or playful. They call that a poltergeist. So a poltergeist is not really necessarily an evil ghost kind of a thing. Based on what I've seen, my guess is the ghost is a boy around 10 or 11 years old. My husband thinks it's more like a teenager. Our kids are all girls, 9, 4, 3, and 2, and we don't talk to them about it, but they'll sometimes bring it up. What would you do? Would you do anything? The only scary feeling I get is like someone is watching me, but other than that, I feel like we're safe. I just don't know what to do. Would you move? Call a priest, get some sage, which is what he brought up.
Well, that's the cheapest starter, is sage.
Right?
If you don't feel like threatened by it or scared by it, then, I mean, maybe it's fine. I wouldn't want that happening in my house, even if I didn't feel threatened, though. I mean, moving, it seems a little, like, a lot. But also, if it's happening every single day, the very beginning, I'm like, okay, toys, that happens all the time. I understand that it's comedic timing, she kind of said.
Yeah.
But then everything else after that, I'm like, yep, nope.
What did it for me is like seeing something like peek around the corner, then you're looking, there's nobody there, or lights being turned on or objects being moved.
I couldn't live like that, honestly. Yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't know. I would say maybe. I think it'd be really interesting. I love old houses. I love like just going into an old house and imagining what it used to be like. And like, where was their Christmas tree? And, you know, what was their birthday party like? And, you know, that type of thing. I would see if you could go find the history of the house mm-hmm. and find out when it was built. I mean, you know, when it was built, and maybe the family like still has kids around or something like
that. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out. It was only built in 1960. It's not that old.
Yeah, that's 61 years ago. But there's probably, you know, like family members that are still around.
Yeah,
maybe
they,
and maybe not. I don't know. But I don't think I'd move. I don't think it'd be like, if you're not disturbed by it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would move any sooner than we normally move.
Yeah, probably not.
I'd fill that well in, though.
Sage.
Seriously, that's
sage.
Well is, yeah.
Grow a sage patch in the well room. I don't know. It's like an herb situation.
Yeah, what climate?
What climate?
Yeah, great question. I have no idea. How do we, yes,
sage
like, perfectly? Like, can I grow it by my sink, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was yours, growing dill?
I was growing, like, random herbs in, like, my basement.
Oh,
apartment.
No. Yeah.
Susan's growing, like, herbs right now, and she actually does a decent job. She got, like, a starter thing that, like, is lit up all night. It's about the size of, about the size of one of those Rubbermaid bins, okay?
Yeah.
So that's, and it's got automated water and the light that's automated, and it grows herbs, and then you eventually transfer them to, like, your garden or whatever, so.
Fancy.
Yeah. Here's another email to ryanshow@kwb.com. Like everybody else, I want to say thank you for your awesome show. I've grown up with the morning show and love listening to you on my drive to work. Recently started listening to the Minnesota Goodbye, and it's refreshing to hear you both unwind after the show. All the swears give me a really good, much-needed laugh. I just listened to one of the podcasts. You read an email from someone in the restaurant industry thinking about switching jobs and struggling with the idea of leaving. I've been in a very similar situation myself lately. I want to say thank you for the words of wisdom of the podcast. I really needed to hear it's not about anybody but you, and that your loyalty is to you. Because didn't she feel bad about leaving a job?
Yeah, she asked, when can I leave a job? And we're like, anytime. You're allowed to leave a job anytime you want for yourself. Yeah, so that's where your loyalty lies, yourself.
She goes on to say, I work in early childhood education. I've been working in preschool, working in person all school year. I've always enjoyed my job. This year has been hard, and I'm extremely drained and burned out. Last year, I got a promotion, but I'm making less money than I would have if I was still in my teaching position. Among other things, I feel underappreciated and unheard. So finding out that kind of just felt like another jab in the midst of all the chaos. On top of all the typical work stress, it started to become more apparent to me that the reason I feel so burnout is I spend more time with other people's kids every day than I do with my own, and that I pay somebody else to spend more time with him than I get to. My son's only a couple of months older than Fallon's daughter, so that'd make him like almost two. And being able to be home with him more when the pandemic hit really hard showed me how much I would have missed out if we'd been living in a normal year. I love the people I work with and the mission behind what we do, and I value my time with adult interaction with my coworkers, but having the extra time at home last spring and summer was really something eye-opening, changed my perspective, and I've been thinking about making a career change so I can take a break from working with kids or find a way to be home more with my son. Totally understandable. But I have no idea where to even start to look. I've always worked in the education childcare field, and now I'm in a place where I feel stuck when I'm in what I'm already doing. I know that things will all work out in the end, but the mental struggle trying to decide what to do has been really hard. I know it's hard to give advice on a situation that's not yours, so I just really want to say thank you for the reminder. It's not about anybody else but myself and my own family. That was something I really needed to hear as I decided where to go from here, Jessica.
I think it's always easier to stay somewhere. I mean, don't you agree?
Oh, sure. In a marriage or a job or whatever, it's always easier to stay.
But that's not the answer. They always say, like, the time, like, when you have the most fear, like, the fear-based things, that's, like, the times in life when you grow, when you do something that really scares you, from little things to big things. That's, like, when you grow. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think that if she's turning it over in her mind to the point where she's writing to a radio station to ask for mm-hmm. what I feel like is our blessing to quit, then it's time to quit.
Yeah.
Because I think what she's doing is she's presented all the evidence. She didn't say anything good about her situation currently. So I think that it's kind of like, I know some divorce lawyer friends, and they're like, people will come to me and they'll be like, should I get a divorce? And it's like, I can't give you permission.
Yep.
We can't give her permission or blessing to quit her job. She's got to do that herself. But it sounds like there's nothing she likes about it, and she's going to become more and more resentful. And let me just tell you something. You know, when you have kids, little kids, the time doesn't go fast. It goes, and then when it's over, it seemed like it went really fast. But it does end. So if you really are resenting not spending time with your little guy, then figure out a way to spend more time with the little guy. But then it becomes a problem because can you afford it? Can you afford to
quit
your job?
That's a great question. I don't know. And then also you have to like, so everyone's played this game for some in some way or shape or form in their life when you're trying to like figure out which direction you go. And the fear-based things are what come into play. So she's probably playing the game of like, yeah, but I could go somewhere else and it could be just as bad or even worse. Or what if I go here and XYZ happen? So it's like, I know that you're probably playing that game. I think at some point, if you can support yourself, but you make a little bit less money, it's worth it for the mental sanity of it. Well, you got to be able, you do have to pay your bills in the meantime, course. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're pointing at other reasons, you know, trying to think and make up this, what's the word I'm looking for? If you're trying to like, you know, make this, you know, work and like if you're trying to like make it seem like it's something that I'm so bad with words right now.
No,
I don't know what's
fine.
Happening. But yeah, if you're trying to like make excuses and stuff like that, then you've already made your decision.
Yeah.
And you should probably walk away from it. But also like I'm not you. So like I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
Somebody once said about divorce, they say people stay in a bad marriage because they know that they are handling it and they know how bad it's going to get and they know that they can deal with it. But they don't know what lays on the other side after you get a divorce. Well, will I never find anybody ever again? Will I be broke? Will I have to live in a dump in a dangerous neighborhood? Will I not be able to get gas for my car or go on vacation?
Sure.
So they stay there in their bad marriage because they know how bad it gets and they know they can handle it. So I don't know. I think a lot of it depends on your age, too.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake and you're 25 years old or 30 years old, you got so much time to recover from it. But if you're like 48 years old and thinking about switching careers,
it's scarier.
Then
so
it's definitely scarier because, you know, you don't have as much time to make up for it if you screw it up.
You don't realize that, though. Even when you're 25, you're like, this could ruin the rest of my life. It won't. Unless you kill someone.
That's true.
Then that will ruin the rest of your life.
Well, it's kind of like Olivia Rodrigo. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo, it's like, okay, I love the song. Get over it. You got your heart broken. You're 18 years old.
Whatever. She's riding that success train right now.
I was going to say, she got like mad stacks.
This is how we know her.
That's not the point. The point is, you're 16. It's like, no,
she
my
is
life
over
is over.
That's the biggest thing in her life, though. We have to remember that. At 16, when someone breaks your heart,
that is
the end of the world.
Yeah, you think it's the end of the world. And in 10 years, Olivia Rodrigo will laugh at her story and go, yeah, I thought that was bad. I'm just telling you.
That's real.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, what else? You got 1 minute, Fallon. What do you want to add to the podcast?
Did you not have another one? Sorry, I thought you had another email.
No, you sent me two of the same ones. So one was a Facebook fight.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
I got to pre-read those because they get out of control. So
Jenny posted something the other day that might also be helpful. It was like and I won't remember any of the details, so this will be a really great story. But she said like it was like two images and it was how people, most people judge success. And it was like job title and money and how we
and
how we should judge success. And she said it changed her outlook on things because a bigger part of the pie was split up more than just in two pieces. But one of the bigger parts was mental health. Like, does it cause more stress than it makes me happy? And so you need to look at that. And that is something that is more important. Again, I say this than the money you make, but that's assuming you make. And I know a lot of people are in jobs they don't like because you need to make the money to pay the bills. But if you're in a position where you can still make enough money, you can find a job. It's easier to find a job when you have a job, they always say. But then look at that. What's more important to you? The having the extra little bit of money or having the extra little bit of mental health?
I will say that obviously you want to be at least acceptably happy, but I don't think there's I've had probably 7 or 8 radio jobs in my life. Every one of them had its good things and its bad things.
For sure.
Not a one of them was like, this is the perfect job.
Mm-hmm.
One was because I had to work all nights and I was tired all the time. Another one was because I worked way too much. I'd get up at like 7 in the morning and work until midnight. It was ridiculous. Never had any free time. But there's one, I mean, so I think my point is there's never the perfect job, just like there's no perfect partner.
No.
But
you can find something that feels pretty right.
Well, you got to be at least happy with it. You got to be like, you know what? This is pretty good most of the time.
Yeah. I can deal with Jan cornering me in the office every other week because the rest of it outweighs that cornering sesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, E, thanks for being on. We appreciate you.
For sure. Sorry for my stutter fest.
We're gonna go attack Meat Mountain in a few seconds. Jenny is not. I don't know if she's gone to Arby's yet. I don't think she is, because if she had gone to Arby's yet, then she would be letting us know. Anyway, we're very excited about Meat Mountain. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Minnesota Goodbye.